Will please to John chapter 21. And we'll begin our reading in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The title of the message tonight is Lovest Thou Me. It's only fitting that John's inspired record end with the searching question asked by Christ and directed towards Peter. The question posed by the Lord Jesus, Lovest thou me? Is one that should be pondered by every believer as we follow the Lord on this uneven journey of life. Love to Christ is perhaps the single most important virtue that any believer should hope to develop. Where there is genuine love for the Savior, there will also be a fervent desire to serve and honor Him. Adelaide was talking to me earlier in the week about the Scriptures and about her memory verses and about when she can go to a Bible conference. And I said, Adelaide, do you love the Lord? She said, Yes, I do. Do you want to serve Him? She said, Yes, I do. I want her and all of us to understand that this is the key, that all of your service, all of your work for God must flow from a heart of love for Him. Love for Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. And we should really be asking ourselves this question often. Do I love Him? Is it showing in my life? In my attitudes, in my willingness to serve, to endure hardship, to suffer persecution? Do I love Him more than everything, more than anything, more than possessions, more than prestige, more than popularity, more than power, more than money? Lovest thou me more than these? How about you? If I were to ask you the question that I asked my granddaughter, what would your answer be? Do you love the Lord? Well, after the disciples had shared a meal with the Lord Jesus, Jesus asked Peter three times if he truly loved him. And every time Peter answered in the affirmative, yes. And every time Peter's answer was followed by an exhortation from Jesus to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep, as a means of proving that he truly loved the Lord. And that's always been the standard for all true pastors who are called of God to pastor one of the Lord's churches. There should be a sincere desire, a genuine desire to feed the flock of God, to care for people, to love them, to have compassion on them and concern for their lives. And every pastor ought to want to simply open up the Word of God and explain it so that it can be understood by the power of the Spirit applying it, so that you and I will be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Well, after this, and we're not going to get into it, but I'm going to go ahead and give you like an overview of the rest of the chapter. After the Lord interrogated Peter, he then directs Peter's mind to the day of his death. Jesus knew exactly when, where, and in what manner Peter would die. Have you ever seen that as you go through this passage of Scripture? Have you ever noted that? The Lord told him exactly when, where, and how he was going to die. And Jesus intimates that Peter would one day follow him even to death in a similar violent manner at the hands of persecutors. And after the Lord talked to him about that, Peter then, out of curiosity and perhaps concern, asked the Lord about the manner in which John the Beloved would die. And then Jesus rebuked Peter and reminds him to follow him regardless of the way in which John would experience death. And then John ends his gospel by declaring that he, John the Beloved, was indeed the writer of this wonderful book, and that the testimony that he gave was absolutely true. He then closes by saying that all the miracles and sayings of Jesus were so powerful and infinite that all the books of the world could not possibly tell the whole story of his marvelous ministry. We can't know the depths and the breadth and the height and the width of the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's his excellencies, his glory is truly unfathomable. How wonderful it is that God opens up our eyes to see glimpses of his glory as we serve him. Well, in verses 15 through 17, you have Christ's charge to Peter. And I think it's significant to note that Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. Lovest thou me? And guess where they were seated? Around a fire of coals. I believe the setting, as well as the threefold repetition of the same question, was intended to humble Peter's heart and to stir him to recall that dreaded night in which he had been filled with such fear and cowardice that he had denied the Lord three times, just like Jesus had predicted. You go back in the Gospel of John in chapter 18, and you have an account of the sad story of Peter's denial. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Denial. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coal, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it. Number two. And said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. Say, why would the Lord bring that up? Because I believe that the Lord wants us to know just how frail we are apart from His power and His grace. He was fully restored. He was forgiven. I think there's another reason for it. Peter is going to be a pastor. He needs to toughen up. Because he is going to meet with a lot of opposition. A lot of hatred. A lot of persecution. He is going to face some circumstances that he really needs to be prepared to always remember that he's doing this because he loves the Lord. Now, the first time that Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I take a little different tack than most people in interpreting this. I believe that Jesus was referring to the other disciples. Do you love me more than these? You remember, Peter, when you once boasted that though everyone else be offended, yet shall not I? In Mark 14:29, Peter had said, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. So the question posed by Jesus was not only intended to convict and remind Peter of his failure in denying the Lord, but also to convict him of his boasting and self-confidence. In essence, Peter was setting himself up as the supreme apostle, that he was going to be faithful no matter what, and the rest of them were going to deny him. When in reality, Peter led the charge of denials. Peter had to learn the hard way not to trust in himself and that he was no better than the rest of the disciples. It would do well for all preachers to remember that. That just because they are called to the ministry, appointed, ordained to feed the flock of God by the Holy Ghost, they're still sinners, ministering to sinners. And no preacher should feel a sense of superiority. He shouldn't be prideful or haughty. A.W. Pink said, this was still more searching than the name by which Christ had addressed his apostle. He was calling him Simon Peter, like when he first met him before he was converted. He would not heal Peter's wound slightly, but would work a perfect cure. Therefore does he, as it were, open it afresh. The Savior would not have him lose the lesson of his fall, nor in the forgiveness forget his sin. Consequently, he now delicately retraces for him the sad history of his denial, or rather, by his awakening question, brings it before his conscience. Peter had boasted, "Though all shall be offended, yet will not I." He not only trusted in his own loyalty, but congratulated himself that his love to Christ surpassed that of the other apostles. Therefore, the Lord now asked him, "Lovest thou me more than these apostles, more than these disciples?" Now, just to be fair, it should be noted that a lot of commentators that I've read believe that the question posed by Christ had reference to the bounty of fish that had just been caught. Now, I believe in consistency when I do an exposition of the Scriptures. My position when they went fishing was they were just going to get something to eat to provide for themselves. I don't believe that they were wrong in doing that. But again, a lot of people, a lot of commentators say that Peter was in the wrong leading that expedition, but Jesus never rebuked him for it. So to be consistent, I believe that Jesus wasn't talking about the fish and about the money that he could gain from their sale. So the argument aligns this argument that he was talking about the bounty of fish they just caught. It aligns with the idea of many who believe that the Lord was rebuking Peter for going fishing and seeking commercial and monetary gain rather than serving in the ministry. So they theorize that the Lord was asking Peter if he loved him more than what he could gain from fishing. Now, I don't believe that's the reason for this, and he may correct me when I get to heaven. But I want to be fair and let you know that there are a lot of commentators that believe that's what he's talking about. Well, each time that the Lord asked the question to Peter, it was as if Peter's heart was being penetrated by the sword of the Word of God. And let me tell you something tonight. How you ought to thank God when God uses His Word to penetrate your heart and to convict you. You know, I preached some hard things last Sunday. And I charged you with responsibility to serve the Lord. And I hope and I pray that you realize that when I preach like that, it is not to harm you, to hurt you in any way. But I want you to be ready for the coming of the Lord, ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we cannot serve God haphazardly and carelessly and apathetically. So thank God when God's Word makes you feel uncomfortable and when you realize you need improvement. Now, every time that Peter answered the Lord, he acknowledges the omniscience of Christ. Lord, you know. Peter, in essence, affirmed time and again that he believed that Christ knew all things, even the deepest desires and thoughts of the human heart. As God, Christ could see and know things about a man that no one else could possibly know. The searching eyes of the Lord are peering into every man's heart around the world simultaneously. Our God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows the thoughts, the intents, the motives, the desires of every man, woman, boy, and girl the world over. Gavin, you know the Lord knows what you're thinking about right now? I wonder if I know what you're thinking about. I don't. You know what? God sees everything you're doing. Jesus knows everything you're thinking. He knows exactly why you do what you do. Are you doing it just to make a show of religion? Or do you do what you do because you love the Lord? Because you want to serve Him and honor Him and devote your life to Him? Jesus is working in the heart of Peter, drilling down, saying, do you really love me? Peter was thus confessing his belief that Jesus was indeed God in the flesh, possessing a divine knowledge of all things. One thing that Peter was sure of was that despite of his recent failures, his heart still burned with love for the Savior. Peter wanted more than anything to honor the Lord Jesus with his life. Each time the Lord asked, Peter responded with a fresh confession of love for the Lord. That's another reason why I don't believe he was talking about fish. Love for Christ is perhaps the most important confession that any believer can make with his lips as well as his life. Of all the graces, of all the virtues that are commendable and honorable, a consistent love for the Savior should be at the top of the list. Without love for Christ, our profession of faith, our baptism, our church attendance, our memory verses, our prayers, our outward service, our witness, if we don't love Him, that's all worthless and vain. We're just going through religious motions. That's what I'm convinced, that's what a majority of people are doing religiously in our world today. There's no real relationship, no real connection to Jesus Christ. They put in their time on Sunday morning and then do whatever the rest of the week without much thought whatsoever. Do I love Him? Is He my Lord, my King? Above everything else, Christ desires that His people love Him more than anything or anyone else. In fact, that's the first and greatest commandment, to love God. J.C. Ryle said this, "We may know much and do much and profess much and talk much and work much and give much and go through much and make much show in our religion, and yet be dead before God from want of love, and at last go down to the pit." Think about that. Jesus warned in Matthew 7 about the folks that came before Him. And He said, "Depart from me." They said, "Have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name?" He said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Jesus never says that to his elect. He never says that to his sheep. Those are people that have made false professions. J.C. Ryle goes on, "Do we love Christ? That is the great question. Without this, there is no vitality about our Christianity. We're no better than painted wax figures, lifeless stuffed beasts in a museum. We're sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. There is no life where there is no love." What, after all, is the great secret of loving Christ? It is an inward sense of having received from Him pardon and forgiveness of sins. Those love much who feel much forgiveness. He that has come to Christ by faith with his sins and tasted the blessedness of free and full absolution, he is the man whose heart will be full of love towards his Savior. The more we realize that Christ has suffered for us and paid our debt to God, and that we are washed and justified through his blood, the more we shall love him for having loved us and given himself for us. Our knowledge of doctrine may be defective. Our ability to defend our views and argument may be small. But we cannot be prevented from feeling. And our feeling will be like that of the Apostle Peter, "Thou, Lord, who knowest all things, Thou knowest my heart, Thou knowest that I love thee. Lovest thou me?" We're going to end with that question tonight. And then we'll get into what the Lord told Peter to do to prove his love next Sunday night, God willing. Sounds like it's raining.
Hope you got your windows up. Of course, most people drive.